Do you want to make a difference in the world?
And see the lives of the people of India and all internationals transformed with the gospel?
As India goes, all Asia will go with.
Living the Dream podcast provides tools for you to pray, give, and go
as you become an active participant in the Great Commission.
And help your church's demographic represent the demographic of your community.
Get ready to find your strategy for reaching your community and changing the world here at Living the Dream Podcast with your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Living the Dream Podcast. This is where the church gathers to mobilize in order to effectively reach the community and change the world, including all the foreign-born internationals moving into our communities. I interview today's top church leaders from around the world so we can learn all we can about reaching internationals with the gospel and partnering with them in the Great Commission. It's time the church has this conversation. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources for tools for your success. Now, let's jump into today's show. It gives me a high honor to introduce to you my friend, David Apuku. He is a native of Ghana. He and his beautiful wife have five lovely children. David holds a master's in business administration from UNC Chapel Hill. He attends Elevation Church, the Mooresville campus. He works at Ecodis as the marketing and business development manager. He is known for his million-dollar smile and his favorite saying, "It is well." When you meet him, you want to make sure you ask him about the pet lion he had as a kid. David, welcome to Living the Dream Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Our friend Chris introduced us at Elevation Church Mooresville, and I'm so excited to know you and to hear more of your story today and to share that with our listeners. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are from Ghana. Yes. I'd love to know your story. Tell us about who you are and you're growing up there in Ghana and how you made it to the USA, how God brought you here.
I'm originally from Ghana. Grew up in a part of Ghana called Takoradi. It's a harbor city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in any harbor city, you know what happens over there, right? So I grew up in a neighborhood, which I don't think I can compare that to any place I've seen in the U.S., you know, mm-hmm. very underprivileged. We live in government houses. You know, I grew up in a single family home. My mom and I had other three siblings. I was the youngest. Most of people in our neighborhood were prostitutes, gamblers. You know, that's mm-hmm. our neighborhood was where people hang out at night. You know, people usually wake up around like 6 p.m. and hang out all the way to morning, about 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. Drinking, smoking, drugs, alcohol, everything that you can name. You know, mm-hmm. so I grew up in that neighborhood. And, you know, even though I grew up a Methodist, we used to go to church.
Okay.
But I was not a Christian.
Okay.
So I picked up some of those things, you know, it's in the neighborhood, you know. Mm-hmm. So did that in high school. So I did my high school and college in Ghana before coming here. Mm-hmm. In high school, very notorious in high school. I got kicked out of high school once. I ended up in another high school, you know, but God being so good. I mean, he was watching over me all the time. Mm-hmm. I made it to college in Ghana, unlike here. During that time, very difficult to get to college. There were only three universities in Ghana. Mm-hmm. So, and it's based on performance, your academic performance. Mm-hmm. That's how you get in. They were, you know, so God was good. I got into college, went to college with no aim, mm-hmm. pretty much. You know, I had no role models, you know, still not a Christian. Used to go to church at home. But when I went to college, unlike many young people, my whole 3 years in college, I went to church once.
Okay.
Yeah. And the reason why I even went to church that once was because of a girl I was trying to chase.
You know? Okay.
And the girl invited me to church.
Yeah. Yeah. God works in mysterious ways.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, did college. And now when I was in my senior year, I came to the U.S. for the first time.
Okay.
This was in 1998. Came here the first time. I came here as a camp counselor in Connecticut to a 4-H camp.
All right.
So I worked in the camp and went back to school to complete my college education. So after graduation, at that time, there was nothing, you know, really going on in Ghana. Mm-hmm. It was very hard. Unemployment was very high. So I made up my mind that I'm going to migrate to the U.S.
Okay. You
know? So I came here because I had been here before. It was very easy for me to come back here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I came back officially, I would say, in 1999.
Okay.
After college. Came here, you know, very excited. But then still not a Christian,
mm-hmm.
you know. Very excited coming out of poverty, coming here, seeing how much you can earn by mm-hmm. working here. So, you know, I had all these crazy dreams, crazy ideas, what I'm going to do whilst I'm here.
Sure.
Yeah. My story is real long, you uh-huh. know.
Yeah. But I want us to dive into that.
Yeah.
Let's back up just a little bit. You're raised by a single mom?
Yeah, single mom.
Do you know your father?
Yeah, I know my father.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he was not involved in the home?
Well, he was partially involved.
Okay.
You know, so on vacations, we'll go to mm-hmm. his place.
Okay.
He lived, you know, miles and miles away.
All right.
So we only saw him on vacations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we would go and stay with him. I mean, most of the time, probably about 2 months at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then come back, you know, and go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he was a Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
I don't think he was a strong one, though.
Okay.
Yeah. He passed away when I was in high school. He passed mm-hmm. away, Jehovah's Witness. Yeah. And sometimes when I look back, it breaks my heart. I wish, you know, I knew better so I would have shared the gospel with him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about your mom's faith?
So my mom, I found out not long ago that she became born again, I think in 1985.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, in 1985, I was already in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, growing up, even though we were going to church, she also told me that she also used to go to church, but she was not saved.
Yeah.
So she became saved, you mm-hmm. know. But the good thing that I always say is that the Bible talks about train up a child, the way it should go. And when they grow, mm-hmm. they would not depart from it.
Yeah.
So the seed, you know, I was not a Christian, to say, but the seed were planted.
Yeah.
But I was very involved in church, though, you know, in Ghana.
As a student, high school.
Before high school, okay. In high school, before college,
okay.
You know, very but involved.
Never a born-again relationship with
at
Christ.
Oh, I don't even think that I heard that.
Okay.
I'm not even sure. I mean, yeah. I don't think it was presented to me the opportunity to make that decision.
So let's talk about the culture, because 71% of Ghana today recognizes itself as Christian. Is that born again Christian?
Nah, okay. I highly doubt that.
Okay.
This is what I call assumed Christianity.
Uh-huh.
So it's more of a routine.
Yeah. Right?
So we are excited to go to church on Sundays.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a Sunday tradition for us.
Yeah.
You know, we go to church, come back home, eat a big meal. And that was what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I hear 70-something% in Ghana say they are Christians,
uh-huh.
I doubt that.
Okay.
I doubt that. I doubt they have even 40%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is now a resolution in Ghana that by the year 2029, uh-huh. Ghana will be recognized as the developed country. But what you remember is a very underdeveloped, very poor country growing up.
Right, right.
Ghana's made extreme advances. And we want to say thank you to Ghana, because the world's chocolate comes from Ghana.
That's right.
Yeah. It's now the number one provider of chocolate to the world.
Yes, yes. And gold, too.
And gold, yes. Yeah. Lots of precious minerals coming out of Ghana.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's located, in case our listeners aren't aware, in West Africa.
Yep.
And so it's had a hard history, and the culture has not always been favorable, but a lot of good is coming out of Ghana, and we really appreciate what God's done through the country of Ghana and
yep, that's right.
how he continues to develop. But that wasn't your story growing up. You remember poverty.
Extreme poverty.
Lots of evils there
in the neighborhood,
in your surroundings. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, it's by God's grace,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would say,
yeah.
you know, yeah, by prayers mm-hmm. of my mom, my sister also became a born again, my older sister, mm-hmm. my sister is the eldest,
yeah.
and then we had three boys and one girl, so she's the eldest and three of us,
mm-hmm.
but my sister, I knew, you know, when I was growing up, I knew she was a Christian, because she was very much involved,
yeah.
you know, in the church, not just like the way I was, but okay. she was, you know, on track. And when I became born again, I know God showed me that my mom and my sister have been praying for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were very excited. And now we'll get to that born again story.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just talk about economy just for a moment, because we're having this interview in the United States.
That's right.
Most people from Ghana, if they're anything like India, so our friends from India who look at their fellow Indian nationals that now live in the USA, they would say, oh, well, that's the rich. The rich have made it over to the USA. And so maybe even some of your fellow people from Ghana would look at you and say, okay, well, your family must be rich. So now you're living in the USA. Now you're a rich guy. But one of the things we're trying to get across to our audience is that, yes, there is certainly a perspective of affluence when some of the foreign-born internationals do come over as very resourced and having the means to be in the USA. But there is a large portion that come over underprivileged, and they are given an incredible blessing by God to come to the USA because they did not grow up rich. They did not have the means, but it's by the grace of God, as you said earlier, that they are able to come to the USA. So tell us about that. So you come over as a camp counselor, then you go back, you then decide, I really want to break away from this and I want to get to the US. But you didn't arrive here as a very wealthy businessman. Just describe in your perspective, you were sharing how it's really by the grace of God.
If people think that those who come from foreign land, the privileged people who mm-hmm. come here, I disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say, you know, totally, but I say majority of the people who are here are actually underprivileged mm-hmm. because those who are rich, mm-hmm. when they come here, they don't stay here. Mm-hmm. You know, they mm-hmm. come here either for education and go back mm-hmm. because they are well to do over there.
Yeah.
You know, but it's most of us who didn't have it that want to break away from poverty that ended up over here. Mm-hmm. So I came here, you know, and my sister paid for my plane ticket to get here. Mm-hmm. And I think I had about $150, mm-hmm. you know, which was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, she really gave me, to me, I knew she gave me a lot of money, you know. Mm-hmm. Came here, I knew only one friend from high school who had already been, because his dad was mm-hmm. here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So he lived here. My friend had come here. So right when I came in after college, I moved in with him. So he was ready to move out from mm-hmm. his dad's home. And since I was here, we moved out and became roommates, mm-hmm. you know. And then through that, I even brought along about four other friends. So mm-hmm. this is a one-bedroom mm-hmm. apartment, and we're about five of us sharing. Mm-hmm. But we were okay because we had a dream, mm-hmm. and we had the drive, and we knew that it wasn't always going to be like that. Mm-hmm. There was going to be a change because here we are in America, things that we never, you know, ever. I tell people there are things that had happened to me here mm-hmm. that I could never have dreamt of. Like it was beyond my dreams.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. like owning a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
92% of the world do not own a car.
Yeah.
Only 7% of the world actually have the privilege of knowing what it's like to own a car.
Yeah.
And we Americans just think everybody has cars.
Yeah.
But that's not true. We are so blessed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, owning a car is an incredible privilege.
Like, I couldn't have dreamt about that, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Even though I had the privilege to go to college, I knew, even after college, if I had stayed in Ghana, mm-hmm. it would have taken a lot for me to get a job. You mm-hmm. have to know somebody. You have to bribe people to get a job. Still happens over there. Yeah.
As soon as I turned 16 years old and was old enough to work, I could get a job. I had multiple opportunities. Yes, they were minimum wage jobs, but there is no shortage of employment opportunities, even two decades ago. Now in Ghana, as well as in India and other developing countries, jobs are becoming much more available to the citizens. But when you were graduating,
Ghana is way better than it used to be.
Uh-huh.
You know, I remember when I came here as a camp counselor, one thing that amazed me was everywhere I went, I saw now hiring. Mm-hmm. Now, and I was like, what? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was what drove me to come. I'm like, oh, at least I will get a job here.
Uh-huh.
You know, and yeah. You would never, at that time, I mean, people, listeners might be thinking about today's Ghana, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about Ghana 20 years ago.
Yeah.
There was nothing like that. Mm-hmm. You have to know somebody to get you in. You mm-hmm. have to pay your way to get a job
yeah.
after college. So, I mean, that was the best thing to do at that time. Go to college, after college, and if you have the opportunity to travel outside, mm-hmm. it was the best thing to do.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, things have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's break down this profile, because it's very often that I perceive that most Americans see foreign-born internationals as wealthy and as not really needing very much. And so here we are on the podcast, really seeking to encourage the believers to build relationships of purpose with foreign-born internationals, because they do have needs. They are in a vulnerable place. Many are still coming into America in the same profile that you did, with $150, maybe one suitcase or two suitcases, and that's it, and their dream, and a dream in their heart
yep.
of finding a better life, finding a job, finding an education. And so many come over on debt, and especially, you know, there's millions of college students now, but very few of them have coming from families who just drop the cash and pay for their tuition. Most of them are here on loan. And this is one of the biggest risks. I mean, like, we buy a house, we think that that's a risk, and buy a car. We can always, if something were to happen catastrophic, we could turn the car back into the bank and not go to jail. We wouldn't have to necessarily pay 50% interest on mm-hmm. those kind of loans and everything. But some of these foreign-born internationals are taking one of the biggest risks in the history of the family by taking an educational loan and hoping that they will do well and with their education and then be able to pay that loan back. If something were to happen and they bomb and they crash and leave school, that family could be ruined financially for years to come and face incredible hardship as a result of that.
And now, a story from the mission field.
I have an incredibly funny story about Ambien being used in India. So we're a bunch of foreigners going over on a mission trip, and it's not uncommon to encounter one or two along the way that have a sleep disorder or a very difficult time sleeping. Sometimes the friends from the U.S. will come with a prescription for Ambien. And one of those was a magician from Texas. And we are wrapping up an incredible mission trip in the state of Orissa. And we go to the train, and it's supposed to leave at 2 a.m. And we're there waiting for the train, and we're starting to hear announcements in the foreign language. And our host begins to become very concerned, because the announcements are that the train track has been dismantled by a political demonstration about 2 hours away from the station, so that the train could not arrive. No idea as to when the tracks would be repaired and if they would be repaired in time for us to make it to the departure city in Vishakhapatnam, so that we could catch our flight and over to Mumbai and come back to the USA. So in the process of this, our friend from Texas took an Ambien and was having difficulty sleeping. And so we made a decision that we are going to need to go by Jeep, because there is no hope of the train coming in time, and we have the clock is ticking, and we have to get to Vishakhapatnam. Otherwise, domino's effect happens and we do not make it to the USA. We start missing our flights. And so it is no small task to get three Jeeps and all the luggage and all the people on the road. And it takes a while before he realizes it. He is waking up nauseous. And he ends up vomiting all over himself in the backseat of a car. And there's three people back there, and there's book bags on their laps. It's a very tight environment. And he is asleep because of Ambien. We get to a stop where we have to take care of some permissions to go further through this check post. And he is required to go and change. And he is miserable. And his friends sitting with him are miserable. And it is just one of those moments. But we survived and we made it to Vashaknapatnam and we made it to the USA. And Ambien just made for a very funny story from the mission field.
We want to give some local love to our friends at Future Homes by Jim Thompson, located in Apex, North Carolina. With over 40 years of home building experience, the Thompson family has established itself as a trusted and consistent provider of the area's finest new homes. Jim Thompson's BuildZoom score places the company in the top 98% of contractors in North Carolina. Not only are the homes extravagantly beautiful, but their hearts are generous. We recognize Jim and his wife Eileen's witness for Christ and their incredible generosity for expanding heaven through gospel missions. Check out their website today at futurehomesonline.com.
Nothing boosts reaching internationals more than saying, "I've been there." Global Hope India has taken nearly 1,000 people on short-term mission trips and seen both Americans and Indians radically transformed. Experience a life-changing adventure. If you're looking to see people far from God raised to life in Christ, then GHI is your opportunity. See our mission trips at globalhopeindia.org/go. There's definitely a trip for you.
Know your numbers. Maybe you've seen the show Shark Tank, and you've seen the business owners come in to pitch to the sharks and explain why they're the right person to execute the vision for their business. Well, we believe that you are the right person to execute the vision for your church, and you need to know your numbers.
Okay, one of our favorite research banks is Pew Research Center. And in 2015, they did a study and found that Christians are the largest religious group in the world. 7.3 billion people alive on planet Earth today, and 31% of the Earth's population identify and affiliate themselves as Christian. 24% say that they are Muslim. 16% say they have no religion. 15% identify as Hindu, and 7% identify as Buddhist. Know your numbers. Every number is a soul. It's important every church staff and volunteer know the numbers. So you come over, you're chasing this dream of employment. You're at that moment still not a Christ follower. So let's hear the story.
Yeah, so, you know, came here. I lived in Atlanta for a while. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited to be there. You know, here I was. I mean, I was still young, in a partying mode, you know. And it was like I had broken out of something, some kind of bondage. And I was like a free slave, you know. Yeah, everything was, I mean, I was working, making thousands of dollars. I mean, and I do the math and convert it into the Ghanaian currency. And I realized that, man, I'm making a lot of money, more than even some of the managing directors in Ghana. You know, so excited, party a lot, weekend after weekend, have all these lofty, crazy dreams. You know, I want to make so much money that I'll be traveling to Jamaica, Brazil, go and do all the crazy things that you can think about, you know. So partying a lot, not going to church. I remember when I came here, only time I would go to church was on New Year's Eve, because that's what I was used to. You know, in New Year's Eve, we had this notion that when you're crossing over to another year, you better be in a good environment.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what is going to determine.
Everybody wants to be blessed.
That's right.
We don't realize necessarily that it's only God that really blesses us, but everybody is born with a desire to be blessed.
Exactly. You know, so here I was, and I'm going to kind of like walk you through how I became a born again.
Okay.
I think that's very important for listeners to understand that. I was at a situation in my life, right? So here I was coming here. I filed my immigration papers, and something that was supposed to take about 3 months, right, ended up taking about 7 years. for me, you know, I got my work authorization to work fine, but my green card, my permanent residence card, which was supposed to be handed to me after my interview, took longer than expected. It took 7 good years.
Wow.
And I consulted the top attorneys in immigration in this country. Mm-hmm. I mean, some Jewish lawyers go, they will go in, you know, in the back, whatever, to go find out. And they will come back to me and say, we can't see anything wrong. We can't find anything, you know. But that, it came to the point, you know, and that seed that was sown in me when I was in Ghana, you know, going to church and everything, I came to a point I knew that it's only God who can do this. Because I have sorted out the top people who can do, who can help me through this situation, and nobody could. And I was losing money that way, you know, paying attorneys. And so there was a part of me that knew that God is the only one who can do it, and I need to surrender to him for him to do it. But also, there was also that part of me that want to keep partying, because if I surrender to God right now, I can't do some of the things that I used to do. And I was not ready to do that. You know, so I kept on postponing. And the longer I postponed it, the longer the issue hanged around, you know. But so one night in 2008, you know, after I was in the nightclub in Atlanta, I was sitting down at the bar. This is a nightclub I used to go to every weekend.
Okay.
It was, that was probably my church.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to be regular every weekend, you know, and I would go in with all the wrong reasons. Sitting at the bar, drinking, and then I heard a voice, you know, not a loud voice, but I, you know, all the noise, I heard a voice ask me, why do you keep coming here? And I asked myself, why do I even keep coming here? You know, but that moment, I knew it was God who was speaking to me. For some reason, I hated the place all of a sudden. Didn't like it anymore. Started to buy it, and I prayed a prayer at the counter. And I said, God, if you get me home safely tonight, I will surrender my life to you. I drove home. You know, I had something to drink, but I drove home. God, I know God took care of me and took me home safely. I got home around, it was around like 3 a.m. I stood in the kitchen by myself and I prayed that prayer that we call the sinner's prayer.
Okay.
Listen, I don't know. People pray that prayer and they think nothing happens. Listen, I prayed that prayer. Physically, nothing happened.
Right.
I was still not sober from the club. I went to bed, but when I woke up the next morning, I knew I was born again.
Yeah.
Because the things that I used to do and my routine going to work, getting my coffee, getting my cigarettes, you know, on the way, going to work, for some reason that morning, I didn't want to have any of that.
Right.
I picked up every liquor in my house and poured down the drain, every cigarette, put in the trash. And I was like, today I am a different person. And all I did the night before was to pray that prayer.
Yeah.
You know, but I hear people pray that prayer and they just say, oh, I just prayed it. I don't even know if it, listen, it changes something.
Yes.
Because it's not the physical being that is born again immediately. It's the spirit in you that is born again. You know, so that was the turnaround in my life. Became born again, started going to church, you know, being part of church, and started praying, reading the Bible. And then God started gradually transforming my life. And to the point that that immigration issue that was hanging around through nothing, through no consultation with immigration, one day I received a letter from the immigration that they want to interview me again about my immigration people. And man, this is something I've been waiting for forever.
Yeah.
For 7 years. So, you know, went to the interview and God was good. Man, she gave me an immigration officer to interview me who was from Nigeria. Okay. And this lady, I mean, immigration interviews are very tough interviews, but God made it so easy. We talked more about the lady than talking about me.
Wow.
She was pregnant, you know, and I had kids, and I was, that time I was a nurse. So we talked about health issues when related to pregnancy, and all she asked me was to verify my address. So I verified my address and got my green card immediately, you know. What I see here is that God used that situation.
Yeah.
Even though the enemy held it, right? Mm-hmm. Was trying to withhold it from me getting mm-hmm. it. God used that same situation to glorify, because without that, I don't know what would have drawn me right. to God.
Miracles started happening.
Yes. And the point is, I had plans that when I get my green card, because mm-hmm. at that point I couldn't travel out in and out, right? Mm-hmm. So I had all these crazy plans. And one, immediately I get my green card, I'm going to do this and mm-hmm. that and all. But God, I'm sure he was sitting there and saying that this guy, mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure he doesn't get it right now, because he's going to kill himself if he gets it. Oh. So even though wow. the enemy brought it in, yeah. God turned it around for good.
Yes.
And I became a born again, you know, and here am I since 2008. I can strongly say if I die tonight, I know where I'm going.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we all do that. We yeah. pray for a miracle. Every one of us, even before we know Christ, we all want miracles. We want to be blessed, but it's God's plan to make us a miracle first.
Yes.
And then we see miracles happen. But until we're willing to let him turn us into a miracle and do a born again experience within us, where he fills us with him, with himself through the Holy Spirit, you know, it limits his ability then to really help show us miracles yes. in our life. That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah. You know, and so here am I, you know, became born again, mm-hmm. going to church, and I'm one of those people that take everything I do seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, came on fire for Christ. And mm-hmm. I was part of a church at that time in Atlanta that was very big on trying to find your purpose in life.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So I kept praying, God, show me my purpose. Mm-hmm. God, show me my purpose. You know.
Yeah.
And it took some time, but he did show me my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that my purpose is to share the gospel, the salvation gospel, with young people in Ghana.
Mm-hmm. And that is why I wanted to interview you, brother.
Yes.
Because the mission of Global Hope India is to see Indian nationals absent to the gospel transformed into be ambassadors for the gospel.
Amen.
And obviously, God's work is not just in the country of India. So we want to celebrate his work all over the world. But what you're testifying to is the sovereignty of God brought you to the U.S. absent to the gospel. But now you are an ambassador for the gospel.
Amen. And I want to really confirm what you said. When I look in my life,
mm-hmm.
where I would have ended up if I had stayed in Ghana
uh-huh.
versus being here,
yeah.
I knew God brought me here
mm-hmm.
to become a born again.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't yeah. know, but I would have been dead by now
yeah.
if I had lived in Ghana. Because yeah. the lifestyle that I lived
uh-huh.
when I was in Ghana, I wouldn't have made it past a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but God brought me here for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want 2020 to be the year that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the U.S. rises up and clearly welcomes and proclaims over all of our foreign-born internationals, you belong here. There's a sovereign work of God for salvation for you, your family, your people, your country. And so welcome to America.
Amen.
And take the Lord Jesus for salvation, that God is doing a sovereign work here. Just the cost involved of having illegal immigrants here and the healthcare cost and those kind of issues. And, you know, no matter where you are on the side of the fence, the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ says, welcome the foreigner.
Amen.
And the church needs to realize this call that Almighty God, if we're going to be a follower of Christ, part of following him is realizing that there is acts of God above the United States of America that are occurring.
Amen.
May God bless America. May God bless all the countries of the world. But it is God who is building out his plan on the earth and for the human race. And in his sovereignty, he brought you from Ghana to the USA so that you would receive the Lord Jesus for salvation.
Amen.
And now your passion, purpose that he has put within you is for the salvation of Ghana.
Yes. And, you know, like you said, right, sometimes we get bogged down by economics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, there are a lot of illegal immigrants here. Nobody's saying, yeah. I understand. Like you said, right, regardless on which side of the fence that you are on, But let's look at it this way. Me as one person, mm-hmm. right, that was mm-hmm. given the opportunity mm-hmm. to come to the U.S. Mm-hmm. and receive the gospel.
Yeah.
And God used this same one person mm-hmm. to bring salvation to thousands of people. Mm-hmm. You know, just, I mean, the price of a soul can now be calculated.
Right.
In how much healthcare costs I cost this country.
Right.
In how much whatever I took from anybody whilst mm-hmm. I was here. Mm-hmm. But the soul of a human being is bigger.
Right.
So if sometimes we, that like the Bible say, see no man after the flesh.
Right.
You know, look mm-hmm. at them through the eyes of God.
Yeah.
If we knew mm-hmm. what God was going to use me for, mm-hmm. for by being over here and how what it means in terms to the kingdom of God, then we would be more welcoming mm-hmm. to other nationals who come over here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yes, there are some bad people. We understand that. Mm-hmm. But we see everybody through the eyes of God.
Yeah.
None of us are perfect. Mm-hmm. None of us. You know, the fact that you sin differently from somebody does not make you a better person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Your sins might be different from theirs, but mm-hmm. it's still sin in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
This is a saying that says that we judge people by their actions, uh-huh. but we judge ourselves by our intentions.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. we say, oh, my intentions were good. But mm-hmm. you see, only see their actions, and they also see your actions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I want to go a little further
yes.
with what God has done through me,
okay.
you know, by being over here receiving the gospel. So this started in 2015. I was here in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. No, actually, it was 2015. I was at UNC, okay. Chapel Hill, getting my MBA.
Yeah.
And I went to church one Sunday. You know, I was part of a church in Durham. Went to church, and the pastor said something that God is not looking for abilities. Mm-hmm. He's looking for availability.
Yes.
For some reason, all the whole sermon, that was the only part that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. So we had a spring break mm-hmm. from school. I think it was for about a week or so. And I told myself, man, I'm going to quickly go to Ghana and go to my high school. Remember, I told you I was kicked out of a high school.
Yes.
So I'm going to go back to the same high school and share the gospel. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use my testimony, you know, and share the gospel with people. And this is something I've never done before. Mm. So got there, during the week, I went to see the school authorities. They gave me the opportunities. I want to put this in perspective a little bit. In Ghana, about 95% or more of high school students are in the boarding school.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, so they stay on campus.
Residential.
You know? Yeah, residential.
Yep.
And like you said, Ghana being people say Christian, right? So assume Christianity. So most of these schools are public schools. Mm-hmm. And the public schools, they have church services on Sundays.
Okay.
So about 95% of young people who are in middle school all the way to high school, who are in boarding school, go to a church service on Sunday.
Okay.
So I went to my high school, the one where I was kicked out of, mm-hmm. and I was given the opportunity to share the gospel. Remember, I've never preached or shared the gospel like that anywhere. Mm-hmm. Here I was. I stood in front of about 1,500 students.
Right.
Yep. And shared the gospel.
Mm. You know, praise God.
Hallelujah. It was amazing.
Uh-huh.
You know, before I went, I had made all these notes and everything. But when I got there, the Holy Spirit took over.
Okay.
I didn't even go back to my notes.
Isn't that awesome?
And I just shared the gospel. And the anointing of Billy Graham came upon me. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And I shared the gospel. And I asked people, the student, I asked them how many of them want to give their life to Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, heads bowed down. And we saw over 300 and something students gave their life to Christ that night.
Wow, praise God.
And this is a guy who is not a pastor,
yes,
never shared the gospel in the public, you know, setting like that, just with my testimony. Mm-hmm. And that moment, mm-hmm. I heard the voice of the Lord.
Okay.
If we say we hear the voice, heard the voice of the Lord. And the voice said, this is just the beginning.
Wow.
Because I shed tears when I opened my eyes mm-hmm. and I saw how many people stood up to give their life to Christ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I shed tears.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Uh-huh.
I wish I had made this decision when I was in that position, mm-hmm. when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So I was excited. So the following Sunday, mm-hmm. I went to my other high school, which is a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. Our Catholic schools, they are a little different.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to having the opportunity to share the gospel, you know, they did not even give me the opportunity to share the gospel. They just gave me the opportunity to give some kind of like a motivational speech to the student.
Right.
So here is, you know, somebody who went through the school is coming back to the student to tell them something, you know, mm-hmm. kind of motivate them to study. But that was not my agenda, mm-hmm. you know. So after the church service, they gathered the students and then gave me the opportunity to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I remember when I stood there, one of my friends was like, oh, just go ahead and make it a motivational speech. You know, they only gave me about 15 minutes.
Okay.
And so but when I started talking, so I talked about my background, where I came from and where I am. It was more going towards the direction of a motivational speech. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, no, you are not a motivational speaker. You are here to share the gospel.
Mm, okay.
So I switched immediately mm-hmm. and shared the gospel. And it was about 7 minutes left. Shared a quick, you know, like a gospel where you meet somebody on the street and you share one-on-one with them.
Uh-huh.
That kind of, you know, message.
Right.
And here we were and asked students, how many people want to make a decision to give their lives to Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Man. Pastor Kevin, that day we saw 680 students
wow.
give their life to Christ. And remember, this is only 2 weeks, two yeah. Sundays back uh-huh. to back.
Yeah.
So I came back to the States and I was fired up.
Yeah.
You know, I was really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And now I realize that this is truly my calling and my purpose
Praise
to share
God.
The gospel with people.
Yeah.
So I came back to school, you know, graduated from my MBA 2015, got a job in Durham, in Durham as a consultant, six figures and whatnot, you mm-hmm. know. So every now and then when I get opportunity from work, I will travel quickly mm-hmm. over the weekend to Ghana, go share the gospel, and I'll come back to work mm-hmm. on Monday.
Yeah.
So I was doing that. But I did that for some time, and all of a sudden it just dawned on me that I need to do more.
Mm.
Come back next week for the exciting conclusion.
From 2016 till 2019,
mm-hmm.
I can boldly say mm-hmm. that God has used me
yeah.
to lead over 60,000
mm-hmm.
young people
yeah.
to Christ
yeah.
in Ghana.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big challenge though.
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers are big,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And one thing that God is impressing on my heart is discipleship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
There are too many of them who come to Christ, mm-hmm. but not enough people to help disciple these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So that becomes a big burden.
Yeah.
That is why when I left Ghana in May last year, that is the burden that I came here with.
Yeah.
And I came here praying, seeking God that He will make a way, give me a plan, give me the people, give mm-hmm. me the resources mm-hmm. so that this can be done effectively.
Yeah.
Because I realize that winning the souls or people saying yes to the gospel mm-hmm. is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
but we, the Bible say we have to make disciples.
Yes.
And that is very challenging. That is the hardest part.
We're giving away a Starbucks gift card this month to one of our amazing listeners. Go to globalhopeindia.org/dream and fill out the quick free Starbucks form. We will randomly select a lucky listener, so enter now for your chance to win. This episode is complete, so head over to globalhopeindia.org for show notes and more resources for your success. Continue to find your strategy for reaching your community and changing the world here at Living the Dream.